This is Unsocial Spectators with Clay Harrison and Mark Ramsey.
And you can find us at unsocialspectators.com and also at unspectators on Twitter. Welcome to episode 38 of Unsocial Spectators. Hey now.
Hey now. How's it going, man?
Doing pretty good. So, what was your film of 1993 you want to talk about?
True Romance, the Quentin Tarantino script directed by Tony Scott. Just a classic film that bombed at the box office, but has like standed the test of time. It's still talked about fondly as one of the best movies of the 90s. Yeah. It's, but you know, probably the best Christian Slater role, the best, oh my God, which Arquette is it? Patricia Arquette role. It's just so fucking good. And then, you know, I think a few episodes ago, I was talking about how Joel Silver had just kind of fallen apart working with Tony Scott on, what was that movie? The Last Boy Scout. Uh-huh. And so he kind of wanted to poke fun at him. So there's a character, the character that's the movie producer that's buying all the cocaine is based on Joel Silver.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Just to kind of mock him in the way that he is. I just loved watching this again. Like, Tony Scott movies, like, really didn't have a hold on me until years later, where you just see how he has different shots that are pretty much his, the look and style. And it kind of made me want to go back and watch Top Gun again, just to see, like, what he was doing there, too. Because I don't think I really watched that for the shots as much.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the Maverick, Top Gun Maverick?
No, but I've not heard a bad review yet. So no, I think I'm gonna have to watch it.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed I didn't see it in the theaters. But I'm not a big fan of the first Top Gun, so.
Yeah. The original script for True Romance was Clarence and Alabama, but also a story that Clarence was writing, which turned out to be Natural Born Killers.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, that was kind of Clarence's depiction of their violent trek across the road, because the original script was called Open Road.
Oh,
and it
okay.
And he had talked about casting David Carradine, who at this time we only knew from like Revenge of the Nerds movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting my Carradines mixed up, am I?
I think so.
David Carradine. Which Carradine?
Wasn't David Carradine from Kung Fu?
He is from Kung Fu.
Keith Carradine?
Robert Carradine.
Okay. Whoa.
Robert.
Yeah, I was like, David Carradine was in Revenge of the Nerds.
No, Robert Carradine. So that Robert Carradine was talked about for the Clarence role before Christian Slater got it, and Drew Barrymore for the Alabama role, which I could really see her playing this Alabama role.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think anyone had the chemistry that these two had, so... fucking great revisit.
Yeah, I recently watched it. It's a great movie. I mean, the scene with the walking and the hopper.
Yeah, buddy Terry, he's like, that's like one of the most iconic fucking monologues.
Oh, yeah, the best in all of film, in my opinion. Won the top 10.
And then Gary Oldman's character, he's just in a few scenes, and people still talk about that character.
Oh,
Drexel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he had the guy, he basically took pieces of his makeup from Dracula and used it to create Drexel. Like, he had the person who did the hair and makeup do Drexel's dreads. Mm-hmm. And then he took one of the eyepiece or the contacts that he wore as Dracula and just used it for the one eye where you could see his face is all kind of fucked up and stuff. So wild ass character, man. I wish that that was a character I will always kind of wish they'd revisit.
Yeah, yeah, he was really fun in that movie. A really good movie, lots of fun, good acting, you know, great stuff in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's got a bit of Badlands in it. You know, the voiceover work of Patricia Arquette at the beginning is very similar to like what Sissy Spacek voices over in Badlands when she goes on a tear with Martin Sheen. Yeah. But yeah, the violence in this one is nowhere near like what I remember from the movie I just mentioned. Fuck.
Badlands?
No.
Natural Woody Born Killer.
Natural Born Killers. Because yeah, that one always stands out as just a blood fest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the script was so big, he hacked those stories in two and then sold Natural Born Killers to Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, it was he just kind of disowned the script because he didn't like all the changes that Oliver Stone had made.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, a writer never likes changes. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's how they are, you know?
Well, I mean, Quentin Tarantino said that he did approve of the changes they did on True Romance because in his original script, Alabama and Clarence die. But Tony Scott had kind of done this as a like a fairy tale type, like a crime ridden fairy tale.
Sure.
And so Quentin was like, okay with them living. Like he said, the characters he had put on screen were different than what he had on paper. So he sees it differently that, you know, it's better that they live.
Yeah, that's cool.
But what'd you watch?
I watched Cliffhanger.
Oh, Sly Stallone.
It's a fun action movie.
Weird pivot for him to go to this,
though. Yeah, yeah, yeah. From Rocky to the Rocky Mountains, you know?
Rambo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I had a hard time watching it because Lithgow's accent makes no fucking sense. What accent did he have?
I don't remember.
It's like maybe British, maybe Swiss. It didn't make any sense.
I know. John Lithgow's done so much good, though, we have to forgive him for things like this.
No, I agree. But it was, you know, a fun action movie. And you have Michael Rooker.
Oh, the great Michael Rooker.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot he was in that film. So, yeah. Yeah, good time. You know, anytime, I mean, despite the accent, Lithgow playing a villain is always fun.
Oh, fuck yeah. Is it Jeanine Turner in this too?
Yeah, from Northern Exposure. Yeah.
I always wondered why she never just like broke out in film. Like she only did Northern Exposure, then just kind of did like I think like a lot of Hallmark movies, and this I guess was her big film
debut. Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, she's pretty good in it. So I had a good time with them that movie. So what else have you been watching?
I watched a cool documentary on Tubi called Sleaze Lake.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's a 58-minute documentary about van life and people in the 70s who had kind of, it's like this post-Vietnam group of kind of disenfranchised people who started like van clubs, and then they go and kind of would have these meetups, and they would call them like truck-ins and van-ins, and So they go to this like one place and they have this huge like gathering that they call like the Woodstock of Vans. And so they still had, yeah, they still had people who today are still in these van clubs that still go because they're having like their 44th annual meeting at this thing. So it was neat because a lot of the footage was 8mm.
Oh, okay.
So they're pulling 8mm stuff and Polaroids and just, you know, standard film from that time period to tell like what kind of happened during this. But it was neat to see like just something that kind of could only exist in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love my van. we used to call Love Machine.
Yes. How many vans have you had? Is that the only one?
I had the one van. I had a fold-down bed in the back and disco lights.
Because they go together. You can't have one or the other.
Yeah, it was a fun van, you know.
Yeah, that was what was interesting about watching all these people who were like, it was about their van, and with some people it was about like customizing their van.
Oh, yeah.
But some it was just like, you know, it was the vehicle of the family, you know.
Well, I loved it because I would go on road trips, you know, and I pull over the side of the road. I could open the window that had a screen on it.
Yeah.
And sleep in the back of the van and didn't have to pay for a hotel. You know, I'd sleep at a rest stop. You know, it was just me. So it was a really good way to get a cheap vacation.
I think I've only slept in my car. I've never slept in a van or any vehicle like that.
Oh, dude, I've slept in vans. I've slept in cars. I've slept in boats. I've slept, you know.
Why? How'd you end up sleeping on a boat? Because to me, I'm not picturing a yacht type boat that you're on that you're sleeping on. What do you sleep? How'd you end up sleeping on a boat?
Well, it was my uncle's yacht.
Oh, it was a yacht.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Big time in it.
Well, I mean, it was a sailboat.
I guess I think of Texas, and I always think of like lake boats.
No. In Denmark, he had a sailboat. It would sleep like five people, you know?
Fucking yay, man. Yeah. That's nice.
And we would sell to Germany in it all the time, so.
Dude.
Yeah.
What kind of boat? Like, how big? I mean, so it sleeps five people.
It was big enough for five people. It was a sailboat, you know?
I just haven't been on many boats at all, so it's like even seeing nice boats like that, that's just shit I see on TV.
And now when you're on a boat, I mean, the ocean, if you have motion sickness, you have a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't, but when you finish sleeping, you're like, whoa, you know, just kind of fucked up a little bit, you know, because their inner ear is kind of screwed up. But other than that, it's fine. It didn't bother me.
Yeah. Okay.
I've slept on trains. I've slept on...
I've never been on a train. Like, I would love to travel on a train.
Trains are awesome. I had a Euro pass for 2 months when we were in Europe when I was 21. And when we go from town to town to save money, we had the pass. We could get on any train in Europe anytime. And if there was room, we could sleep, you know, sleep on the train. And what we would do, like, we would go from France to Rome. And we'd do it overnight.
How many hours is that?
12, 13, wow. something like that.
That's a good sleep.
So, well, we wouldn't sleep the whole time, but you would sleep so you wouldn't have to pay for a hostel or hotel, you know? So you'd zigzag across Europe all the time. So you wouldn't have to pay for hotels, you know?
Yeah.
I slept in the Amsterdam train station.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, I've slept all over the world, all kinds of places.
I've never bothered me. I've been across most of America. I said some of America. I just haven't, I'm not a big traveler. I'm not a fan.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, most of my road trips have been across Texas.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, I've driven to Midland and back. Shit, we're up in the panhandle. I'm trying to remember, like, just, you know, Baylor, Austin, San Antonio, all the big cities, and then just like some driving. When Spencer was in college, I would take him to football tryouts at different schools, so that was pretty cool. Like, we would go to Blinn College, and just road trips have just been a part of Texas for me. That's been it. I haven't really traveled as much as you.
I've been to Spain, Italy, France, Belgium, England, Denmark, Germany.
What's been the best city?
Best city?
Yeah, like you just went there and had the best time. You had the best food. You had the best experience.
Paris.
Oh, really? What'd you eat there?
We had escargot. We had a lot of croquet madames. We had duck. I went to a Mexican restaurant in Amsterdam.
What was that like?
It was so bad. their salsa was like ketchup. It wasn't spicy at all, you know. And you're like, they serve it to you, and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Did I get French fries?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't make any sense. But, I mean, I liked all their other food, you know. It was good.
Yeah.
The food in Italy is fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, just magnificent. Yeah, food in France is good, too. And the food in Denmark, it's okay. The food in England... Have Indian, because you don't want to eat English food, you know.
Fish and chips and shepherd's pie.
Blood pudding. And when we first got to England.
I love good English breakfast.
I was on a train, and we were going from Gatwick to London. You know, or into the interior of London, into Victoria Station. And they had a food cart going down the aisle. And they had pork-flavored crackers. Not good.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like it would be good.
Not good. But yeah, Rome is fun. I'm a kind of a Roman history buff, so I really enjoyed all going to the Forum and the Colosseum and all that stuff. You know.
Yeah. Where were you in
'93?
Yeah, the year we're doing the movies from. Oh. Where were you in '93?
Well, I was in the summer. I was in Europe. I was 21.
Fuck.
Yeah, that was the summer I went to Europe for 2 months. It was a good trip. We would go to a city and then stay a couple days, and then we'd have to do our laundry. So we'd take a train back to Denmark. So we'd do our laundry there at my uncle's house. And then we'd go somewhere else, you know, stay for 3 or 4 days. Or,
wow, you know, man, I've never gotten to travel like that at all.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Cancun. I've been to Mexico City. I've been to Guadalajara. I've been to Puerto Vallarta. I've been Vancouver. I love Vancouver. One of my
I would love to go to Canada.
Yeah, Canada is great. I've been up there. I've been to every state except for Maine.
I have been to Maine.
Oh, okay.
I went there for when I worked for a finance company that would do subprime loans.
Mm-hmm.
I would sell the cars on the back end. So if we repoed your car, we would sell it at a local auction. And right. So we had a place in Maine that we were trying to get all of our cars to go to. And so I flew up there to see one of our auctions and hang out. And they were like going to take me for lobster and everything because they wanted to get all of our business and stuff, and then lost me. They like forgot what hotel I was at and could not find me.
one company I worked for, we had a contract with Lawrence Livermore Labs. And I had to go out there to set up the VPN firewall system, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been all over the place doing that kind of shit, you know.
Okay.
Had to set stuff up in Health Canada, you know. Been all over the place, man.
Yeah, I traveled for that company to Maine and to Arkansas, and that was it. I would have like every 2 weeks, I would fly into Arkansas, go to a car auction, sell off our cars, and then come back. And it was just the most boring, dull. It was like, you know, you would leave DFW and you'd just fly into dirty Arkansas, take a car to the auction, just hang out with used car people. And they're people who have sold subprime loans, so they're like dealing with really poor people, and they have had a history with the car that they've bought three times because they've sold it three times. It's just a weird group of people that you're working with.
I've been kind of in that. I did some skip tracing for repo company before, so I've done that shit, you know.
Yeah, I had repo guys that I would deal with and talk to, and I had one guy come to the office and they would always share wild ass stories.
Oh yeah. Oh,
what's your wild ass repo story?
Oh, what's that?
What's your wild ass repo story?
I've never done a repo, but I would do skip tracing, which is you work for repo guys.
Yeah.
You tell them where the car probably is, you know, so you trace them down, basically. I watched some pretty cool stuff this week. I watched Sorceress.
Sorceress? What is this?
1982.
All right.
the studios asked... what's his name? It's from 1982. What's his name produced it?
Roger Corman.
Roger Corman. They asked him to do a Conan the Barbarian ripoff.
Great poster, though.
Yeah, the movie is so crazy. Just nuts, man.
Roger Corbin's a genius, though, because like this cost him $50,000 and they made $4 million.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. But I notice, you know, his movie, Battle Beyond the Stars.
Yes, I love that.
So they use the same soundtrack in this movie. I'm just like, that's Roger Corbin, man.
Exactly, man. Like, you know, I always know this story because he actually made the first Fast and Furious film back in the day. So he owned the rights to that title. And at the time, I think it is Universal wanted to use it. And so they said, well, what do you, you know, how much do you want for it? And apparently he asked for like footage. He didn't ask for money. And so he had somehow gotten access to their film library and was able to finish a couple of movies with just their stock footage they had in there. And so that shit means more to him than anything.
Yeah.
And that's wild.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I watched the first Fast and Furious this week.
DVD or DVDs and VHS TV combos. They're stealing them.
Not very good.
It is pure 90s. That movie is the most 90s. It's got, what is that face?
It's a not very good face. It's a one star face.
It is a movie based on a magazine article that is now one of the biggest franchises in the world.
It's ridiculous, in my opinion.
That's the world we live in.
Some people like it. You know, I think you like the movies.
I love them. They're just mindless fun. I mean, I used to really like, you know, poo-poo them and stuff, but like, it's just ridiculous how it went from a magazine article to a movie to a weird fucking bad sequel by a director who should know better. Like John Singleton should know better. But like I've even listened to the commentary and he was like his whole idea of Too Fast, Too Furious was just he was inspired by manga and Speed Racer.
Yeah, I watched that shit last month. That was worse.
Yeah, because that one is not good.
I saw My Own Private Idaho.
Oh, yeah. With Keanu and Joaquin.
Great film.
Oh, no, River.
River. Great film, man. Really ahead of its time.
I don't think I've ever watched that all the way through.
It's so good. Really good. Yeah.
What else have you been watching?
I definitely recommend that. I saw Red Sun. And Red Sun is a Western with Charles Bronson and Toshiro Mifune, you know, from Seven Samurai and... You know, he did all those Akira Kurosawa films, you know? So it's a Charles Bronson and a samurai. In the West, it's just really weird film, you know, but I enjoyed it.
Death Wish and Blades.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of fun. And I watched Blue Collar. Harvey Keitel, Richard Pryor.
Oh my.
Yeah, from 1978,
yeah.
And this is Paul Schrader's first film.
What?
And I'm almost done with one of, I think, his best films. This morning I've been watching Cat People.
I have not seen that in a long time.
Oh, it's so damn good, you know. But yeah, Schrader, and lately Schrader's been, he made The Card Counter and a bunch of cool movies. But did you know he wrote Taxi Driver?
Yeah, I just now saw that when I pulled up his Wikipedia list.
Yeah, it's crazy what he wrote. He wrote a bunch of good films.
Last Temptation of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Bring Out Your Dead.
He's got quite a few Nicolas Cage in here. He did the Autofocus, the film about Greg Kinnear. Yeah. Or not Greg Kinnear, but Bob Crane.
Exactly. Yeah, really cool stuff. So, yeah, Blue Collar was his first film directed that he directed, but I enjoyed it. I watched 28 Weeks Later.
Love Robert Carlyle in that one. Love that one.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good, man. I mean, yeah. Both of them are great, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but when you have to come back after kind of reinventing the zombie genre that was 28 Days Later,
yeah.
You've got this fucking great opening scene with Robert Carlyle basically abandoning his family. I mean, it is just fucked up, that scene, and just the running to get to the boat.
Yeah.
And that's just, maybe you'll get away. Like, he's so close to dying. Like, I don't know how they shot the camera so close to his face as he's running, and he looks so fucking terrified that you feel the fear.
Yeah, and Jeremy Renner is really good in that, too.
Yeah, he has a great zombie kill with the helicopter.
Yeah, I agree. So I watched Brain Scan.
Brain Scan. Do I know this?
You should, because it's fucking great.
1994.
It has the kid from Terminator 2.
Edward Furlong.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this, it is a trip, man.
Oh, I think I've seen it, because, yeah, I'm looking at the poster now.
Yeah, it has the Trickster, isn't it?
Yeah. The soundtrack was composed by George Clinton.
Yeah. Now, I don't think it's George Clinton. I think it's George S. Clinton or something.
George S. Clinton. Okay,
which is not him, you know.
That is a very distinct difference.
Oh, definitely, because it wasn't funky at all. And I also watched another horror film, horror comedy, Vamps. Have you seen Vamps?
Yeah, I just haven't seen it in a long time, yeah.
And I thought it was funny because Taylor Negron shows back up as a pizza guy.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, it's an Amy Heckerling film.
Oh, shit. And, yeah, she directed Fast Times.
Yeah, so Taylor Negron, so the head vampire, Sigourney Weaver, and she kills people by ordering pizza. And Taylor Negron shows up and she kills him and chops his head off. So, right. So that's kind of fun.
That's a young Kristen Ritter then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's really good in the film. But Wally Shawn as Van Helsing is just fantastic, man. So, yeah.
Inconceivable.
And definitely take a look at that. So what else have you been watching?
I watched Suburbia from 1984.
Yeah.
You've seen this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wild, it's like, I mean, there are movies that talk about, like, growing up at a certain time, like in the 90s, I think the big movie was Kids. Mm-hmm. So the 80s version would have been Suburbia. Just, you know, unhappy kids who've grown up in suburbs that are now pretty much single parent families. You know, the kids are pretty much latchkey kids left to themselves. A lot of the suburbs have started falling apart. It's just it's a real cool snapshot of the most depressed areas of suburbia and what it does to the people there.
Right.
And And it's wild because it's like such a dirty, gritty, real look of that time period and how punk kind of came out of that. Like Flea is in this movie. Like amazing. And then you look at the filmmakers, this is one of her first films. She would go on to reboot The Little Rascals by doing The Little Rascal movie.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw Flea in My Own Private Idaho, too.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to rewatch it if you get a chance.
And then I watched an 80s classic, Frankenhooker. if you remember that when you would go to the video store on the box, it would play Want a Date? Want a Date?
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain that to the guys on my other podcast, you know, like in a video store, they would have these VHS tapes that would have like, you know, things to catch your eye. And this was the biggest one, even though it was like an R-rated movie, kids would go over there and they would just hit that button to hear the video just play over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. Video stores were the best.
I miss them. I watched a thing that had a Blockbuster video commercial in it, and I was like, got nostalgic just for that.
I used to rent laser discs back in the day. Whoa. And there's a place in Dallas called Stereo East, and you could rent laser discs. And I would copy them over to Beta because it was the best quality copies you could make, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd rent a ton of laser discs.
And the only other things I've left are She-Hulk and Andor.
Yeah, both are great.
Yeah, both from totally different places, you know, an adult Star Wars and a superhero sitcom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're both a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I watched for the first time Roadhouse.
Oh my God! Yes.
Real fun movie, man.
Yeah, it's just so wild and batshit about the rules of bar bouncing.
Yeah, exactly. Just a crazy fucking movie. And apparently he has a martial arts throat smash grab thing. And whatever it takes.
He's Patrick Swayze. He has the power of the hair.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So Brain Scan was a 1994 film. You could have saved that one for next week.
No, next week I have one of my favorites, so I'm going to watch that. So I also watched, Wolfen.
Oh, fuck yeah. Is that Albert Finney?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good, Gregory Hines?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yes.
Great film, man. I've started watching my October Horror Fest. I watched Wolfen yesterday. I watched Cat People today, and early this morning, I watched for the first time Event Horizon.
Oh, for the first time, yeah, that's a fucking mind-blowing film to watch.
Yeah, exactly. A really good, fun film. Next week I'm going to talk about In the Mouth of Madness, which is another Sam Neill going batshit movie.
Yeah, it is. That's fucking wild.
I did have
one other movie I watched I forgot to talk about because we started watching our Halloween movies as well. This is from 1982 and it's called Trick or Treats. And it's got
Is it the one with the one R?
No. This one's really old. It has like Steve Railsback in it.
Okay,
remember Steve Railsback? Yeah. It's a dated movie. This one actually does have David Carradine in it. It is a weird fucking movie. every shot of this movie, you go, why? Why did they use this? Why? This doesn't help the story at all. Like, and then I like looked up the director, and I don't think he knew how to shoot regular film because he was known for porno. And so all this movie is a bunch of like really bad scenes that don't really get anywhere. Or the last 2 minutes of the scene is the is what advances the plot.
Yeah, the cum shot.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like David Carradine's in a scene, and he's just almost improvising, it looks like, and trying to just get through it.
Get it,
it's about these two parents who are magicians who are leaving on Halloween. Their kid is going to be babysat by this girl who David Carradine hits on before he leaves. It's really unstable. The kid's dialogue is obviously written by an adult man hitting on this babysitter. And is very cringy, but it's one of those, like, every decision's so bad that I can't say don't watch it because it's a good bad.
Sure.
So 1982, Trick or Treats.
Oh, all right. I'll check it out because I need more horror movies to watch this month. And Criterion Collection has a collection of 80s horror.
Yes.
Slumber Party Massacre.
Fuck yes.
Wolfen, Cat People, The Keep.
I think people forgot about Wolfen, man. Wolfen's a great fucking horror movie.
Yeah, that's great. There are so many good films that The Hunger. I mean, just good shit.
I was trying to explain like the Bruce Willis story that came out this week, that he sold his digital rights and then he didn't sell his digital rights, whatever the story is. I said, that's just like an Albert Finney movie from back in the 80s called Looker. They would get these really hot models and they would like do a few jobs and then they would murder the models because they owned their digital image and they would just use those, you know. And so Albert Finney's like, you know, the cop investigating all the, you know, the high tech murders of these models.
It's called Looker?
Looker.
Huh. I'll check that out.
I've never seen it since it was on cable as a kid, and I watched it like all the time. Because Albert Finney, I was like, he was like a weird old dude who was like the hero type in these movies, like with Wolfen too.
Yeah, I love Finney. He's a lot of fun. Did you hear they're rebooting The Crow?
They're always rebooting The Crow. I mean, who is it this time?
I'm not sure, but I just thought that was weird. And last night I watched Casino again. I just love Casino.
Not one of my faves. I'm a Goodfellas.
I mean, I love Goodfellas, but Casino's great too, you know. Pesci's just, he's the devil in that movie.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking violent.
I mean, he puts a guy's head in the vice. What are you going to watch for 1994?
I am so excited for this. I cannot wait to talk about one of my favorite films, Clifford.
Yeah, I figured you were going to watch that because... when I saw it, I went, yeah, Clay's watching Clifford.
He can't wait
to go to Dinosaur Land.
I don't know how this movie exists, how these people were approached to be in it, why Martin Short would play a child as an adult man. I don't think it's done much anymore.
Right. And, I mean, his co-star...
Charles Grodin?
The greatest. I saw a Charles Grodin film, and you can only watch this on YouTube. It's because it's not released anywhere. I mean, you can... The Heartbreak Kid?
Oh, the original one from the like 76?
Yeah, you can't find it anywhere because I think a beauty company owns the rights. And
that's weird.
Yeah, but they have a YouTube free version, poor quality, but it's worth checking out because Grodin is great in that film. I mean, it has Grodin and it has what's her name from Moonlighting?
Oh, Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah, Sybil Shepherd, and he is like an older guy, and she's a young college girl, and he's on his honeymoon with his wife and meets Sybil Shepherd and decides to get a divorce on his honeymoon.
That's a great guess.
Yeah, and it's directed by Elaine May back in 72 or something.
Oh, know? Really? Wow.
Yeah, really cool. So, yeah, all of her stuff is, great. She was a great director, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking at my movie database of all the stuff I own. And I may have to go through the three films I own from 94 because it's Leon the Professional, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, great film.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, another great. I mean, let's go get some tacos.
Reality Bites. Yeah. And Clerks. I forgot Clerks is in there too.
Yeah, you have most of the great ones from the year, but I'm going to talk about In the Mouth of Madness.
Yes, I may have to watch that too, man. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Such a great film, you know.
Sam Neill losing his mind.
Yeah, just like an Event Horizon that I just watched. So, anything else for this week? I'm looking forward to Andor and the new Lord of the Rings show is really got me.
Yeah, that's what Daniel said too.
It's
and I
really
just,
good.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh well. I'll watch it someday.
Oh sure, you'll have an opportunity because Amazon always releases DVDs, you know, Netflix doesn't. So yeah. If it's on Amazon, it'll eventually come out on DVD.
Well, I do have some, like they did Stranger Things on DVD and the old clamshell VHS boxes. So I have like the first two seasons of Stranger Things.
So I mean definitely worth checking that Amazon show out. All right, man. Well, I'll see you next week.
Later, man.
For Clifford and In the Mouth of Madness.
Where both places go to the end of the world.
Definitely. Later.